This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Joining us right now, my guy Christian Winfield, at Chris Flash, New York Knicks beat writer for the New York Daily News. You've heard him on with me a couple times. He's great. Let's get into the Knicks conversation. Chris, what's good?
Yo, man, I finally touched back home after an eventful trip to Boston. And I tell you now, I don't know how many people thought the Knicks would be coming back home up 2-0 on the reigning champs, but it's a good time to be a Knicks fan, man. If the Knicks can close this thing out and sweep a team that swept them in the season series, brother, I don't even know if there's going to be a Madison Square Garden to play the conference finals. And Knicks fans going to burn that arena down. It's not going to make it past the week, I promise.
When you touched back down in the towns and you looked around the concrete jungle, the air was different. The vibes were different. There was a lot of orange and blue around, huh? You never seen it like that in a recent time.
Hey, man, I know you've seen the little video of the Knicks fans at the Celtics Arena giving security hell, man. It was crazy. Hey, Knicks fans are traveling now. I've seen some Knicks fans in Detroit. I've seen them in Boston. If they go to Indiana, they're going to be there too. Man, this fan base is crazy. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, but that's good. Like, that's the thing. You know, I just took a call talking about Jalen Brunson is not the king of New York. And I'm like, you can't say he isn't. Like, I don't understand how you can't say that. Like just stop that and don't try and rival Judge, right? Because there are kingdoms. And honestly, the Yankee universe is huge. That's why they don't call it Yankee Nation. It's huge. It's full of fans from across the world that just watch the Yankees dominate. But, like, the Knicks fan, there's some global fans, but a lot of them are former New Yorkers that moved elsewhere. The Knicks fan is built of New Yorkers, like real New York people, right? So, like, Brunson is the king of New York because that Knicks fandom and the Knicks fan base is huge. It's not split. I'm a Nets fan. I know it. I've always known it. I wouldn't even give it 10% of the people in this area that watch basketball. The Knicks fan is massive. The Knicks fan base is huge. And right now, they're on one because they just got two big wins that no one expected them to get, that everyone told them that they couldn't have. You saw it. I mean, I'll let you speak on it. But, like, that battery that is in the back of the Knicks fan as well as the players, it's rare. And my whole thing tonight has been the Knicks must win the series now. The Knicks have to win the series now.
Yeah, you know, I remember the days where the starting lineup had Alexi Shved and Langston Galloway and Lou Amundson and all these other guys. So for Knicks to be here from then, I mean, there's some fans that didn't know if they were going to see a championship run in their lifetime, and now this team is inspiring hope. So, you know, it's a big day for the city. Now, in terms of what the Knicks are going to have to do to close this thing out and protect home court, number one, they can start by not digging themselves a 20-point hole. I had to go around the locker room yesterday just to ask them if they need to spot the Celtics 20 points at the start of these games just to play their best basketball coming out of the gate, because these guys don't somehow know how to come to the game and play, you know, at open and tip. It's been something that they've been dealing with all season, just slow starts, you know, and even sometimes slow coming out of halftime. They kind of pick and choose what quarter they want to play or when they want to start playing. They're not going to have that luxury much more. I mean, you already got two come-from-behind victories over the reigning champs in a row. I guarantee you it's not going to happen a third time. You cannot continue to dig yourself these holes. on top of that, you're going to have to account for a healthy Kristaps Porzingis. I don't think there's any way that Porzingis, who missed the first two, left the first game early due to illness, only was limited in game two yesterday, only played, I think, 15 or so minutes. I think Porzingis is going to come back and play a full game on Saturday. That's not concrete. He's obviously going to be questionable. But I think coming back to MSG, having a couple of days off in between games, that's been an issue the Knicks have had, you know, trouble with all season in terms of stretch five, specifically Porzingis, who had, I think, 8 threes the last time he played a whole game against these guys. So they're going to have to deal with that. They're going to have to deal with a team that's, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they're playing for a lot right now, especially when you consider the numbers that have been just really terrible on their end. You're talking about guys who can't find the rim, who are shooting a terrible percentage from downtown, who aren't even really trying to get to the rack. They've got to figure something out, and they're the defending champs. You got a good coach in Joe Mazzulla, so you're going to figure it out. But I said that coming into the series, you know, the way OG and Mikhail defended Cade Cunningham really gave me confidence that coming into the second round that they would have a handle on the Celtics' two All-Stars. And once that happens, now you're looking at a team that, as we see, is really heavily reliant on the three-point shot when you don't have those two guys who can beat defenders off the dribble. Mikhail and OG are not giving up any ground. You're not beating those guys off the dribble. And what happens is now you're getting the ball out of your main guy's hands and you're forcing other guys to beat you, like Derek White and Drew Holiday and those guys. Those guys are only as good as Tatum and Brown can make them, because Tatum and Brown they draw so much attention. But if you're able to guard them straight up, and then on top of that, you know, Mitchell Robinson, you can't say enough about him. Plus 19 off the bench yesterday. The Knicks, this is my favorite stat of the season. The Knicks are a bottom 10 defense before Mitchell Robinson returns on February 28th. And they're a top 10 defense right after he comes back. It's no surprise that the Knicks are more competitive with him on the floor in these games. But it is a surprise that you're able to come back from down 20, beat the reigning champs twice on their own home floor. Now, the issue is the Knicks have not been a good home team, especially in the playoffs. The only games the Pistons won were at MSG. So the Knicks are going to have to find a way to protect home court. But you got this fan base that we just talked about. You got Tom Thibodeau, who's ready to ride his guys into 40, 45-plus minutes to get a win. I think we see a really, really huge game here at MSG on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm with you. We're on the phone right now with Christian Winfield from the New York Daily News. As you can hear and tell, he's a hoop head. He can talk it. I've been following his stuff for a while now. And I know that with this game three, it's crucial, right? Everything I've been saying tonight is that the Knicks got to finish this series. And if they take a 3-0 lead, like, and force the Celtics to win four in a row, like, you feel really good about that. But their style has to change. And in a series, you expect different games. You talked about them being down by 20 to get going. They got to come out of the gate. They got to come out in Madison Square Garden, feed off the fans' energy. I've already called for the fans to be turning up and not wait for the moment. Like, you make the moment. You get excited over the littlest thing, from a rebound to a steal to a dunk. Like, the Knicks got to come out and assert themselves. They haven't had a lead for long in this series. They have to play their best game. You can argue that they haven't played good and were able to steal these games, and that's what the Celtics fans are leaning on. Oh, the Celtics are eventually going to play good. Like you said, even though you made a guarantee about it not happening again, you do have a very famous tweet now. You got to put this tweet on a T-shirt. If the Knicks do actually win this series, the turning point, you tweeted out on May 5th at 8:41 p.m., Celtics up 20, this one's over. No, it was not. And now it's historic that they had back-to-back 20-point comeback wins. They got to come out and have a little bit of a lead and let the thought creep into the Celtics' mind that, hey, you know, we're really in one, and maybe we just can't outright beat these guys.
Yeah, you know, that tweet was so crazy that Josh Hart yesterday asked me why I didn't tweet it again when they were down 20.
why'd you go to the well again for the second game?
Nah, it was crazy. I was like, you know, I don't want to jinx it. I should have honestly tweeted. I tweeted that little meme where the guy's sweating over deciding whether or not to press the red button or not. Listen, this is a team that, like, I think part of it is having to go through that really difficult Detroit Pistons series where you got a team that's really just out there where they're not better than you on paper, but they're just going to try to physicality their way to a win over you. And it worked in a couple of those games. Detroit is built to fight you until you give up. And the Knicks kind of had to look themselves in the mirror and decide, hey, we're not going to cave to this physicality. Actually, we're going to exceed it and match it ourselves. They need to take that same mindset and bring it to the first quarter and actually play basketball to start these games, you know, like they're down 20 in a way, because They can't continue to spot the Celtics. I know we're joking about it. Oh, they did it twice. They can keep doing it. You're playing with fire when you do it that way. And I asked everybody the same question yesterday. Do you want to spot the Knicks? Do you want to spot the Celtics 20 points when you start a game? And everybody had the same answer. No, this is something that we've got to figure out. And just because we can and have shown the ability to respond to adversity and come back doesn't mean we need to shoot ourselves in the foot in both feet to start each of these games, right? This is a team that knows that it needs to play better basketball. And when you ask everybody, none of the players feel like they've put together a full, complete game. None of the players feel like they've shown the full potential of what this team can do. That's scary because they just beat the reigning champs twice. And on top of that, this is something that I noticed over the last few days, right? Usually, especially when I cover, you know, let's take the Nets, for example. Covering the Nets, always the same two, maybe one of three different players or two of three different players at the podium, right? It'd be Kevin Durant, either Kyrie or James Harden or something like that. With the Knicks, you're always going to have Jalen Brunson post-game, but next to him, one day it might be Kat, one day it might be Mikal Bridges, one day it might be OG Anunoby. Yesterday it was Josh Hart. Josh Hart had 23 points, 3-6 shooting from downtown. The Knicks have so many different weapons and so many different ways that they can get at you that, you know, maybe it's okay if Karl Anthony Towns isn't taking 20 shots a game because it could be OG's night one day. It could be Mikal's night. And talking about Mikal, this guy, when we think about clutch basketball, clutch is always something that you think of on the offensive end. This guy's coming up with steals, game-saving blocks. And then on top of that, maybe he's not able to buy a basket in the first three quarters. Man had all 14 of his points in the fourth quarter yesterday, shot 60% in the fourth quarter. You know, this is the Knicks are a clutch, gritty basketball team. They're showing you that. Now it's just a matter of can you get the monkey off your back and win, protect home court. It's going to be tough, right, because the Celtics know if they go down 0-3, their season is basically over. So they're going to come out hungry and desperate. If the Knicks are able to match that, you're talking about a Knicks team that might be able to make a finals run for the first time this century, which is insane to think about.
You queued me up for some. You mentioned Josh Hart and the 23 points he had last night and him being on the podium. Something I was saying on air last night after the game was like, the Celtics want to win their way. They have shot threes. They have made threes. They are so stubborn and arrogant to think that that's going to work, and they just chuck up threes, and that's what they do, and that's they're analytically driven, and that's what tells them, hey, if we hit more threes than you hit twos, whatever. But on the other hand, the Knicks, they'll take what you give them, and they're prepared. They're ready for whatever style of basketball you want to play, whatever's open. If they got to shoot, they can shoot. If they got to get in the paint, like you could tell early in the game yesterday, it was, all right, it's time for Kat to go to work. In the paint, going, you know, to the rim. Now, I attribute that to coaching. Can you speak about the coaching advantage that they have? I mean, Tom Thibodeau is 30 years older than Joe Mazzulla. He's been at this a long time. I gave him the big shot of the night last night because I'm like, yo, this guy used to coach up there. This guy's from Connecticut. Like, he has come in with a game plan, and you're seeing the execution of the game plan late in those games. And just a week ago, people were on the fan talking about this guy getting fired if they don't beat the Pistons. Now, I took a call tonight saying giving him a lifetime contract. Like, talk about the advantage that they have with Tibbs at the helm.
You know, let me lay it out to you this way because it's funny we're talking about three-point shooting. When you walk into the season this year with the Knicks and you go down the roster, you got Towns, you got Bridges, you got Brunson, Anunoby, you got Hart off the bench, you got Shamit, McBride, Payne. That's now eight players that I've listed that have shot about 40% or better in at least one of the last 4 years, right? So you've got eight players who are out there capable of getting up a lot of threes. And for the first few games of the season, I'm like, hey, this team's only shooting 28, 32 threes. Like, why aren't they jacking up more threes? Like, it's a three-point frenzy. Threes are all the rage. And this is exactly why, right? Tom Thibodeau all along was like, hey, you know, just because you shoot a lot of threes doesn't mean it's good basketball, right? Just because you have a lot of three-point shooters doesn't mean you have to go out there and pretty much predicate your whole game plan on it. No, you make the defense respond to what you want to do. You react to what the defense is doing. You move the ball, and you generate the best shot available, right? And we're kind of seeing two completely different approaches to offense between seeing two different stylistic matchups right here. And, you know, for the Knicks, there's been a lot of criticism, you know, forget the minutes discussion. There's been a lot of criticism with Tom about just offense and lack of creativity and, you know, not utilizing certain players in a certain way or whatever you want to have it. But at the end of the day, this team, and especially in this city, is a results-oriented business, right? And they don't care how they get it done. They don't care if it's ugly. They don't care you know, if it's a lot of isolation, or if it's if Jalen's dribbling the ball for so on, or if Cat doesn't get this many touches, or if guys aren't shooting the threes that you want, if it's resulting in wins, the Knicks are going to ride with it. And Tom Thibodeau so far has gotten the job done. He's played his guys' minutes. He's got the reason he's played these his guys' minutes so is so that they could be able to play, say, 50 minutes in an overtime win over the Celtics, right? So they could be able to not wear down. A player like Mikal Bridges, for example, Mikal is a guy who, as his minutes total for a game creeps up, his performance gets better. He gets better as he gets more tired, or not tired, as he accrues minutes, because he's been conditioned that way. All these guys have been conditioned to be able to play heavy minutes, and now you're kind of seeing that versus some of these other teams where guys might start to wear down because they're not accustomed to playing all these minutes. So I think Tom, number one, coming into this into the playoffs, absolutely, there was the noise about, hey, you know, if Tom doesn't get out of the first round, you know, his job might be in jeopardy. And that's fair, right? You could say that about any coach. You got coaches that got fired. You know, look at Taylor Jenkins and a bunch of other guys that got fired before the playoffs even started. But now you're up 2-0 against the reigning champions in a series that nobody had the Knicks coming out of. I don't think any single person had the Knicks coming out of the series, let alone winning games one and two. And you have to give the head coach a lot of credit for sticking to his guns. He didn't cave when the media or when fans said, hey, he's got to change his ways. He didn't cave on the minutes. He stuck to what he knows. And look at where this team is at now. I mean, obviously the series isn't over yet, right? But, you know, I was doing an interview with somebody else, and he was telling me that the coaching mismatch was in Joe Mazzulla's favor. I'm like, how is that even possible? Joe Mazzulla is a relatively fresh head coach compared to the wealth of basketball knowledge that is Tom Thibodeau. Tom doesn't even leave. You've got players who are begging Tom Thibodeau to leave the practice facility just so he can go enjoy his house. They're talking about his house as this amazing place that he never goes to because he's in Tarrytown from sunup to sundown. That's the type of animal that the Celtics are dealing with right now. And their best bet right now is going to have to be this team being unprepared to handle protect home court in game three, because right now it's looking like the Knicks have their number.
Yeah, and he's a film guy. He's a film study guy. And all these guys have talked about how they watch film. Even after the game last night, they're not talking about, you know, feeling great about two wins or whatever. They're talking about getting back to watching film and getting better. Last thing for you, you know, because you mentioned it with the conditioning, they're very much in shape. And this quote I've used all week, fatigue makes a coward of us all. And now you're seeing
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
The Boston Celtics not be able to put the ball in the hoop for like 7 or 8 minutes or whatever it was. And then you're seeing that they are banged up. They have multiple guys that are hurt. Kristaps is sick. You know, Tatum has the wrist. Like, we've gone through all the injuries with Brown and with Drew Holiday. I mean, there's even an issue now on the other side of the East with the Cavs. The Cavs being without Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and DeAndre Hunter, they're going to try and come back. But like, we're starting to see a pathway here where the Knicks are up two. They got to win two before the Celtics win four. And if so, they would have home court advantage against whoever comes out of the Pacers series. And most of us are looking at it like, yeah, it's the Pacers. So we might get a rematch of last year's second round matchup. I know we can't get ahead of ourselves, but what are you thinking about the other side and the possibility of that?
See, that's a tough one because the Indiana Pacers are built to run the Knicks down into the ground. When you consider how many players they can just put out on the floor, the Pacers will go out there and put 11 guys on the floor, and the Knicks will go out there and play 8 or 9 at most, right? So when it comes to that type of matchup, that's where things start to get tricky because at the end of the day, you can't fake depth, right? And as much as you want to say these guys are built to play 40, 50 minutes, it's different when you're cycling in fresh bodies every 6 or 7 minutes and the opponent isn't, right? So that's a matchup that'd be interesting. But at the end of the day, this Knicks team has shown you they're not running away from anything. They're ready to dig in deep. So it'll be a fun series. I still got the Pacers coming out of that series. I don't think the Cavs are going to be able to come back. I thought as soon as Darius Garland wasn't available that they'd have some issues. But now the issues are kind of compounded now. I will say this Celtics series, even though you're up 2-0, even though history says teams that go up 2-0 are going to advance to the next round, this series isn't over by a long shot. Number one, we already touched on it. The Knicks have had trouble at home. Number two, the Celtics have to have some sort of pride, right? Having a team come through on your own home floor and kind of come back down from down 20 twice. And number three, the Knicks found themselves down 20 twice in a row, right? So if you do that again, this is a Celtics team that kind of has to learn from those mistakes. I don't think the Knicks are out of the woods just yet, but this is where coaching comes into play. The first thing Tom says yesterday is, hey, you know, we can't get too far ahead of ourselves here. We can enjoy this right now, but tomorrow we got to act like this would never happen. We got to look at the tape, figure out ways to get better, because as much as we want to celebrate them from coming back from down 20, this is a team that can't really continue to afford to, you know, spot teams that type of advantage. So we'll see what type of stylistic matchups, what type of stylistic changes they make. We'll see how maybe they just come out of the gate with a little more energy. But this series isn't even over remotely. This is a series that could go 7 if the Celtics get their stuff together. So we'll see what happens.
Chris, you're the man. The Knicks are up 2-0. The Knicks have to win this series now, and the Eastern Conference Finals is a potential reality if they win 2 before the Celtics win 2. Thank you for joining us tonight. You know I appreciate you.
My God. Thanks for having me, man. Anytime.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.